Welcome to Heather Ridge Sixth Ward Sacrament Meeting. Bishop Ms. Back is presiding and has asked me, Brother Roberts, to conduct today. We're grateful for the rain. The weather is definitely starting to change to fall weather. So the one, well, we have two announcements. So next Sunday, Saturday and Sunday will be general conference. We will not be meeting. And then the following Sunday, we'll be having our fast Sunday. And then it's the second Sunday, and we'll be having our teacher coordinating council that week. So just to get that on your calendar. This last month, because of other meetings going on, we weren't able to have that. So just as a heads up. The opening hymn is on one. It's hymn 146, Gently Raise the Sacred Strain. And the invocation will be offered by Brother Gil Bowles.
Our beloved Father in heaven, we are very grateful to be here on this Sabbath day to worship thee, to rest from our labors, and to ponder thee and thy Son. We express our love unto thee and to him and pray that thy Spirit will be here with us during this meeting and throughout this day. We remember, Father, those who have been affected by the natural disasters throughout the world. We pray for them and we pray for those who are helping them. And we pray also for the missionaries throughout the world that they will serve thee diligently and that they will be protected. We also look forward to our general conference coming this week, and we pray for our president, President Monson, and for the his counselors and the apostles and the other general authorities. We pray that they will speak to us thy mind and thy will, and we pray that we will listen with thy Spirit, that we may better understand what we need to do. We thank thee for our dear bishop, and we pray for him and for his counselors, and ask that thy blessings be with them. Again, we pray for thy Spirit this day, and we say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I forgot to acknowledge Brother Tony Martinez on the stand from the High Council. And he has some stake business that he'd like to conduct.
The stake presidency has asked that I conduct the following business. Will the following please stand? Clark S. Jackman of the Heatherwood Sixth Ward has been called as the stake assistant clerk. We propose that he be sustained. Those in favor manifest by the uplifted hand. Those opposed, if any, may manifest. Thank you.
We have one item of business. We've called the following individuals, Tanner and Casey Smith, as Sunday school teachers. We propose that they be sustained. Those in favor may manifest it by the uplifted hand. Any opposed, by the same sign. Thank you. And we always appreciate everybody's willingness to serve an award, and it's great, the contribution. We have a wonderful program today. Our first speaker is Sister Maddie Mulford. She will be followed by Sister Jordan Holland. Our intermediate hymn is 108, The Lord is My Shepherd, and the concluding speaker will be Brother Austin Holland.
Hi, my name is Maddie Mulford. Today, I was asked to speak on how you can prepare for General Conference. In a talk President Uchtdorf gave called General Conference, No Ordinary Blessing, he says, there are messages in each General Conference given as a gift and blessing from heaven, specifically for our personal life and situations. Today, I'm going to speak on three ways we can better prepare for General Conference. Number one, questions. In Young Women's, we were each given a card to write a list of questions we had for conference. We were challenged to really think about the questions we wrote down, to listen really carefully to find the answers in General Conference, and to give thanks for the answers we do get. I'm super excited to see the answers I get. Number two, prayer. In a talk given in the Liahona, a woman was excited for a conference weekend with her family. 2 days before the first session of conference, the woman found out she had cancer. She says, the next days were a blur of sadness, anger, fear, and doubt. She said many prayers in hopes that she could find peace during this difficult time. The next day during General Conference, she was having a hard time staying focused when she heard Elder Perry say, we can't predict all the struggles and storms in life, not even the ones just around the next corner. But as persons of faith and hope, we know beyond the shadow of any doubt that the gospel of Jesus Christ is true and the best is yet to come. The woman was filled with peace and knew that this was an answer to her prayers. Last of all, number three, expect to feel the Spirit. My brother Seth told me the story about when he got spiritually high. On his mission in Texas, he was having a hard time finding the desire to teach the people that he didn't know. He was doing everything right and was a good missionary, but he didn't enjoy talking to the people. During General Conference, every talk hit him hard and he loved it. His whole perspective changed and he finally got the desire to teach the people about the gospel that he loved so much. Everyone around him noticed the difference and he grew to love the people he taught. When I asked him how he prepared for this General Conference, he said he expected to feel the Spirit. I want to bear my testimony that I know what the speakers teach at conference is good and will bring peace to our lives. And I know that conference is a good time for us to find answers to questions we're having. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Good morning. My name is Jordan Holland. Please don't call me Sister Holland because that's my mother-in-law. Austin and I got married a year and a half ago. It's kind of a interesting, weird story. So Austin and his best friend got called to the same mission in Iowa, and then my best friend and I also got called to the same mission in Baltimore. And our best friends were dating, and they set us up. I had only been home 3 days from my mission. We both go to BYU. I am studying special education, and Austin is studying finance. And we are really grateful to be in this ward, and we feel very blessed to be living with Austin's parents. Austin and I both have goals to graduate from college. We have short-term plans for that goal, to get good grades on our midterms, and to pass our classes. And all of these goals and plans are good goals that will strengthen our family and our impact on the world, and can help us in our journey back to the presence of God. Elder Ballard, in his talk, Return and Receive from this last General Conference, said, it is good to have goals and plans for our careers, for our education, and even for our golf game. It is also important to have goals for our marriages, our families, and our church councils and callings. This is especially true for missionaries, but our greatest and most overriding goals should fit into Heavenly Father's eternal plan. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Over the summer, Austin and I had the opportunity to live in San Francisco while he interned for a tech company, and I got to nanny for twin girls. One Sunday, Austin was getting a lot of comments on one of his comments in priesthood meeting, and I asked him what it was that he said, and he said that the lesson was on enduring to the end, and that he raised his hand and he mentioned that over the course of my life, there have always been gospel checkpoints. And the first one is to get baptized. So you go to primary and you learn the baptismal covenant and you have your interview and you get baptized. Then you work towards getting the priesthood, and then you're working towards going on a mission and making sure that you're worthy for that. Then you come home and you find a spouse and you get married in the temple. But now the only goal that we have left is to return to God. And that's a much harder goal to achieve because we don't have any checkpoints along the way anymore. And then he said that another guy commented with, well, there's your typical finance guy trying to quantify the gospel. Ever since then, despite any attempt to quantify, I've been pondering Austin's observation because I think there's a lot of truth in that. I've wondered about what my own plan is for enduring to the end. Instead of 4 years down the road, this could be 50 or 60 years in the future. And do I have a specific plan for enduring to the end? I've been baptized, I've been endowed, I've served a mission, I've been sealed to my husband, and now what's next? Do we have a plan for how we're going to return? Are we anxiously engaged in a good cause? Elder Ballard reminds us that experts on goal setting tell us that the simpler and more straightforward a goal is, the more power that it will have. When we can reduce a goal to one clear image or one or two powerful and symbolic words, that goal can then become part of us and guide virtually everything we think and do. I believe that there are two words that in this context symbolize God's goal for us and our most important goals for ourselves. The words are return and receive. Return is an active verb. Sometimes return can mean a need to change directions. The word repent literally means to turn. If we are constantly checking our course, turning away from mistakes, and turning toward our Heavenly Father, we will be on a course that will help us return to Him. In Alma 34:16, Alma teaches that he that exercises no faith unto repentance is exposed to the whole law of the demands of justice. Only him that has faith unto repentance is brought about the great and eternal plan of redemption. Wow, I had never thought about it this way. Without repentance, there is no plan. Fortunately, in verse 31, it says, if ye will repent and harden not your hearts, immediately shall the great plan of redemption be brought about unto you. And that is an amazing promise. The temple is also designed to reverse the effects of the fall and help us return to Heavenly Father. Even in the physical structure of the temple, moving from room to room as we progress back to the presence of our Father and in heaven and His kingdom. The word receive is also an active verb. And sometimes we think of it as more passive, like we can just stand there and stuff will just drop into our lap. We have to actively receive the Holy Ghost, often asking for and earnestly inviting His presence. We further encourage His presence and guidance by actively listening to and following His promptings. We enter the temple to receive our endowment. In the highest of the saving ordinances, the temple for the sealing for time and eternity, we are commanded to receive our spouse in the temple sealing. And Heavenly Father has given us all these steps so we can ultimately receive exaltation and make and keep sacred covenants. An important part of receiving is accepting and acknowledging the Lord's help. I had a goal when I was probably 5 or 6. I came up to my mom and I told her that I wanted to learn how to cook. And of course, my mom was excited that her only daughter wanted to learn this. So she figured spaghetti would be an easy, manageable recipe that I could do. So my mom laid out and pre-measured every single ingredient for me, and all I had to do was dump it all in and stir. Sitting around the dinner table as a family, my mom announced, "Jordan made the dinner tonight," to which I replied, "All by myself, with no help." I'm sure my mom rolled her eyes with a smile, but I had forgotten to give my mom any of the credit. And how often do we accomplish something and forget to thank the Lord for helping us and for providing those key factors that help us succeed? I know that we have a loving Father and Mother in heaven who are cheering for us and even setting up all the little and big ingredients along the way. We return and receive by having unshaken faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, relying wholly upon His merits, pressing forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men and women, feasting upon the word of Christ and enduring to the end. Heavenly Father has spelled out His goal very clearly. In Moses 1:39, it says, "For behold, this is my work and my glory, to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man." He designed a plan to achieve this goal, which He presented to us in the Council of Heaven. We listened to spirit children when he told us we could receive bodies and come to earth to become like him. In Job, it says that we shouted for joy. No wonder Book of Mormon prophets have called this plan the great plan of happiness. It includes every step and every saving ordinance that we need to return to our Father, glorified and exalted. Satan also has a goal, and Satan can neither return nor receive. Part of his plan is to sway us and entice us to be immoral, to confuse us and distract us from our goals. He uses loud voices and often well-intentioned individuals who are blinded by the secular philosophies of men and women who seek to destroy the faith and divert the eternal focus of those who are simply trying to achieve their goals. There is an amazing woman who lives in my parents' ward. She and her husband have served 9 missions together, including 2 temple missions. She's written several books about church doctrine and spirituality and was on the religion faculty at BYU. A few months ago, I found out she got caught up reading some online literature and podcasts that were against the church's beliefs, and she decided to leave the church. This has been a really hard few months to watch someone so stalwart and someone who I would consider one of the greatest spiritual giants that I know. And it's hard for me to see her forsake a long and sacred history of bringing people into the church. And she has strengthened my testimony so much. And so I've been struggling with wondering how someone who has done it all can lose their faith at this point in their life. And to be honest, it really scares me. I had some long talks with my parents about enduring to the end with my testimony and my faith still intact. They told me that we have another family friend who used to do public affairs for the church. And after spending many years of talking with people who have differing beliefs and often very negative feelings towards the church, she often gets asked, "How do you do it? How do you keep the faith?" And to which she responds, "I always make sure I'm drinking upstream, taking in pure living water directly from the source." That source being God himself, through earnest daily prayer that are conversations with him. A living prophet that is his chosen mouthpiece today, as well as the 12 apostles, and especially when they address us in general conference. Another pure source is the light that comes from reading the Book of Mormon and other scriptures. Obedience is also a form of drinking from the pure source. Doctrine and Covenants section 63, verse 23 says, "But unto him that keepeth my commandments, I will give the mysteries of my kingdom, and the same shall be in him a well of living water springing up into everlasting life." Elder Ballard warns us against consuming polluted waters in forms of distractions and time-wasting. Quote, "Those who disregard gospel truth and who use the internet, social and print media, radio, television, and movies to present in an enticing way immorality, violence, ugly language, filth, and sleaze in a way that distracts us from our goals and the plans we have for eternity." He suggests holding a personal interview with ourselves as a reminder what our goals and plans have to include. During the coming weeks, find time to review your life's goals and your plans and make sure they align with our Heavenly Father's great plan for our happiness. If you need to repent and change, then consider doing so now. Take the time to prayerfully think about what adjustments are needed to help you keep your eye single to the glory of God. My mission president gave us a personal evaluation on applying the doctrine of Christ in our lives. And a few of the questions go like this. 1, do I let God's word sink into my heart or does it merely wash over me? Do I engage in real life-changing repentance or do I merely have regrets? What more can I do to take the Savior's name upon me and always remember him? What am I doing that might be driving the Spirit away? And how well do I weigh my decisions against an eternal plan? Linda K. Burton, in her April 2015 conference talk set in We'll Ascend Together, mentioned 5 questions that we can ask ourselves in reference to our relationships. 1, when was the last time I sincerely praised my companion, either alone or in the presence of our children? When was the last time I thanked, expressed love for, or earnestly pleaded in faith for him or her in prayer? When was the last time I stopped myself from saying something I knew could be hurtful? When was the last time I apologized and humbly asked for forgiveness without adding the words, "but if only you had," or "but if only you hadn't"? When was the last time I chose to be happy rather than demanding to be right? Finally, and under the influence of the Spirit, you may come up with some questions of your own that are specifically designed for your own progress. Finally, Elder Ballard reminds us, as we increase our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ's power to give rest unto our souls by forgiving sins, redeeming imperfect relationships, healing the spiritual wounds that stifle growth, and strengthening and enabling us to develop the attributes of Christ, we will more deeply appreciate the magnitude of the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. Despite our mistakes, shortcomings, detours, and sins, Jesus Christ's atonement allows us to repent, prepare to return, and receive the matchless blessings God has promised, to live forever with the Father and the Son in the highest degree of the celestial kingdom. As a missionary, I saw so many lives change as they followed the steps of aligning their own goals with Heavenly Father's plan through the atonement of Jesus Christ. I saw light come into their countenances, relationships were healed, hearts were softened, and difficult circumstances often became very hopeful for them. I would like to bear my testimony of the atonement of Jesus Christ. I know that the Savior lives. I know that he loves us and that he is cheering us on. I also know that we can repent and have access through the atonement as we partake of the sacrament, and I'm grateful for that blessing. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. That was very beautiful. The organist really got a lot of talent. I'm sure that talent flows through her generations. For those who don't know me, my name is Austin Holland. I am the youngest son of Dave and Shanna Holland. I was raised in this ward, and I've gone astray for a few years, and I'm back in the ward. I went on my mission to Iowa, and then I came home, and I've been at school in Provo, and like Jordan said, we just moved back with my parents after a summer in San Francisco, so very happy to be here back in the ward with many familiar faces and a lot of new faces that I'm not quite sure of. One question that I've often pondered as I've studied the New Testament is if I were alive during the time of Jesus, why do I think that I would follow him and be his disciple? And I remember when I was younger, I used to imagine, like, well, there's nothing else to do. Like, why would I not follow him? But the older I get, the more I have to be honest with myself and think of about a lot of different situations that could happen. Would I be drawn to him because of his reputation? A lot of people are talking about Jesus, for good or for worse. You know, I could see myself curiously investigating this man who proclaimed he was the Son of God. And some people said he was the Messiah. Some people said that he was a blasphemer. Maybe that's how I would stumble upon Jesus. And that's why I would choose to follow him, to try to understand him that way. Maybe I saw one of his miracles firsthand and I couldn't comprehend how it happened. I tried to understand from what I knew and from what I believed and from what I just saw. And I followed him to try to get a better understanding, like, what's going on here? There's something different. Or I very likely could have been caught up with my day-to-day life. Maybe I was worried about selling the trinkets that my wife and I had made and that we needed to sell in order to feed our kids. Maybe I was worried about putting food on the table or becoming popular among my social circle, and I didn't take the time to listen to anything that Jesus had said or to watch anything that he had done. Although there's these different situations, I like to imagine that it would be different if I was there. I'm, you know, for my personal sakes, I like to think that I was there during the Sermon on the Mount. I
what would that feel like? Maybe listening to him speak, how would that feel? And I feel like it would be a moment full of light and truth. And I'll explain why I feel like it would be that way. If I was there on the Sermon Mount, I've probably dragged my family up this hill in the hot sun to hear this guy that people don't have, you know, the best opinions about, or other people do. And listening to him as he teaches, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I would like to think that I would have followed Jesus Christ because I would recognize the light that he embodies and the light that emanates from him. Incredibly, I don't have to imagine what it would feel like to be at the Sermon on the Mount, because the Lord has taught us, whether by my own mouth or whether by my own voice or by the voice of my servants, it is the same. So instead of imagining what it would be like to hear Christ teach these things, I can myself listen to the prophets and internalize, how does it feel when they speak? Do I feel light? And I do. And so I know that that's how I would feel if I had the opportunity to hear Christ in person. My one question I want to think about today is how. How can we be a light unto the world? This command, this charge that Christ has given us. He tells us himself, although we are the light and he wants us to be the light, he says, I am the light and the life of the world. And I believe that the way that he wants us to be lights is by emulating him, by being like him. He is the true light, and we can be the light in the city on the hill by being like him. Christ shared his light in many different ways, but I'm going to talk about three specific ways that he shared his light with others. Christ was a light to others by his example of living by faith. He went about healing the sick and healing the blind and teaching the truth, bringing light both literally and spiritually into people's lives through his teachings. I wish I could have seen Christ heal a blind person. Those who often, with no fault of their own, had never seen the light. They had never experienced the joy and the blessings that come from light. Christ literally brought light into these people's lives for the very first time. And I would love to see what that would look like. But I have. I've seen the light of Christ as I've been able to serve a mission and bring people into the gospel. As I've shared my testimony and the teachings of the scriptures to investigators, I've brought the light into their life for the first time. Often with no fault of their own, they've never heard of it. They've never seen the light. And you and I have the opportunity to share that light with them. Jordan is a great example of this specifically, because this summer in San Francisco, we took a lot of Ubers because it's a lot easier than driving your car. And Jordan is the best person I've ever seen at sharing the gospel with complete strangers. And she has no shame, which I felt like I had that when I was on my mission. But sadly, I too feel often uncomfortable in how to share the gospel. Jordan does not care if it is someone who is wildly intoxicated in the backseat, or if it's some person that seems really snotty and really smart and academic that I would feel uncomfortable sharing the gospel with because they might laugh at me. Jordan just shares it very openly, and she is showing this light through others. And I'm very blessed that I could have that influence in my life. Another image of light I love to imagine is when Jesus descended into the depths of darkness to bring the light of the gospel to those in spirit prison. After Jesus was crucified, he literally descended into the depths of darkness to people who, again, whether with no fault of their own or maybe they didn't appreciate the light that they had enough, needed the light to move forward in life and be happy. We too can bring the light to those who have not received it through temple worship and work. We can emulate Christ's example by bringing those who have come before us into the light and completing their temple work. Again, it's great to think about this. Christ did these incredible things, and even today, we can do these incredible things and bring the light into other people's life and follow his charge. Christ also brought a light just by the person that he was. I don't think that he needed an effort to go out and show people that he had the light. And I've also seen that in my life as well. Many people in this ward are great examples to me and have shown the light to me throughout my life. When I served my mission and was questioned about the Book of Mormon and the truthfulness of it, I would always remember the light of Brother Boyajian's testimony. He would always tell us young men in priest quorum, and this is my best Brother Boyajian imitation. No, I'm not going to do the imitation. I'll just say what he does. You can always rely on the Book of Mormon. Never doubt it. It is 100% good. The light of his testimony strengthened me to testify with power and authority to help bring others to the light. Another experience I had was when I had the opportunity to go on youth trek. I really didn't want to go. Really did not want to go. And after being on trek, I honestly was thinking, this is as bad as I thought it would be. Like, it is hot, it is dusty, I'm dirty. It's not that great. But it was fantastic, one of the best experiences of my life. I remember after, I think it was day number 2 or 3, we just walked miles, and it was so dusty that you had to have things over your face and over your eyes because your eyes were getting dusty and everyone was filthy. And I remember as we're walking through our camp, I looked over and I saw Sister Buman, and she was washing the feet of the kids in her family for the trek. What an incredible light that is, and an incredible light of love. She showed me that although she had walked through the dust, she was being a light, and she was showing the light of Christ through her actions. I can also remember countless times being filled with light as Brother Grapes led the priesthood in singing, "Brightly beams our Father's mercy." He sings it with such great vigor, it makes everyone so excited. I love the words and how it describes my own personal role that light plays in my life and in the life of others. "Brightly beams our Father's mercy from his lighthouse evermore, but to us he gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the wave. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save." I love to think that you and I are the lights that the Lord has placed along the shore to help his fainting and struggling seamen, our brothers and sisters. And through our examples, we can be the light that gets them safely home. I know that I've shared some stories of how you guys have been lights to me. And I know that it's true for other people that aren't in our congregation or even within the walls of our own home, in our community, we can be those lights. In this world with wild and boisterous winds and waves, it's not easy to keep our lights burning. And if we don't fortify and build our flame of faith, we will likely be blown out. This has become even more real, especially after the story Jordan shared and knowing this great sister who fell away from the church, that, like Jordan said, we all need to continuously fortify our lights. One way that we can fortify our light is by obeying the Sabbath day and keeping it holy. Christ teaches in the Doctrine and Covenants, and that thou mayest may fully keep thyself unspotted from the world, thou shalt go to the house of prayer and offer up thy sacraments upon my holy day. For verily, this is a day appointed unto you to rest from your labors and to pay thy devotions unto the Most High. Nevertheless, thy vows shall be offered up in righteousness on all days and on all times. But remember that on this, the Lord's day, thou shalt offer thine obligations and thy sacraments unto the Most High, confessing thy sins unto thy brethren and before the Lord. As we keep the Sabbath, our light will more brightly shine because we are cleansed. We become unspotted to the world as we obey the Sabbath day. Not only includes attending church and renewing our covenants and being cleansed through the sacrament, but we act as lights to our brothers and sisters by our example of our faith and devotion to obeying the word, to obeying the commandments. I know that in San Francisco this summer, Jordan and I would often talk about how we had this absolute need to attend church. And for the first few weeks, we're like, well, maybe it's because it's the only place that we feel comfortable. It's a new city. It's big. It's scary. But then we started to understand that we were in this big, wicked, and dirty city, and we needed to go to church to be clean. We needed to go to church to become unspotted. It was hard work to go throughout the work week, and I would go to work, and there was one other LDS guy that was my boss, and we were the only ones that used clean language or that we wouldn't talk about profane things. And I had never experienced how difficult that was before. Jordan was nannying for a family that wasn't members of the church, and so she was continuously a light to this, to these two little girls and their family. And after a week of doing this, you needed to be fortified. You need to go to church and have your light rekindled, both by the fellowship of the saints and spiritually. So throughout the summer, we would, although we have a hard time being late since, I mean, being early since we've been married, we would get to church and we would get fortified. And that helped us, stay strong in the gospel throughout the summer. Another way that we can be fortified is shared in Elder Oyo's talk from April 2016. And he says that the Lord has always revealed his will to us, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. Therefore, we should not be surprised by what may seem like small things because of their simple and repetitive nature. For the Lord has already counseled us, telling us that blessed are those who hearken unto my precepts and lend an ear to my counsel, for they shall learn wisdom. For unto him that receiveth, I will give more. He goes on to say, I testify that by learning line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, and by hearkening to our leader's counsel, we will have oil for our lamps that will enable us to give light unto others as the Lord has commanded us. The prophet himself has counseled us to do these things little upon little, line upon line, in his recent conference talk, urging us to improve our efforts to study and live the teachings of the Book of Mormon. This next week, we have the opportunity to have General Conference again, and we don't have to imagine what it would be like to be on the Sermon of the Mount and feel the light that would come from his teachings. Next week, we have the opportunity to feel that light because we have living prophets. And I'm excited to hear what President Monson, as well as the 12 apostles and other general authorities, have to say to me, both on how I can fortify my light, share my light, and build my light. Elder Oyos goes on to say, as we teach and learn his way and become more like him, our lights shine brighter and cannot be hid and becomes a standard to those who are looking for the Savior's light. My dear brothers and sisters, we should not trust, we should not and must not hide our light. Our Savior commanded us to let our light shine like a city on a hill or like a light on a candlestick. As we do so, we will glorify our Father in heaven. The Savior's gospel and his restored church give us many opportunities for our light to be part of the great standard for the nations. I like to just bear my testimony that I know that this church is true and that the light that fills my life as I live the teachings of the gospel and I do my best to emulate Jesus Christ is real and it can be seen by others. I'm very grateful for those in this ward and those not in this ward who have been a light to me in my life. And I'm grateful for the preparation that it took for you in order to do that and for the people that that shows that you are. I hope that we all can be able to build our light, to share it with others more frequently, and be prepared to receive light and revelation from the prophets and apostles this coming week. I'm grateful for this opportunity and say this in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
We appreciate our speakers, Maddie's encouragement on preparing for General Conference, which is again next week. It's a unique opportunity, as Austin was saying, to hear from our leaders and our prophet. Appreciated Sister Holland's talk on enduring to the end. And then Austin talking about the light of Christ. Last Sunday, I had the opportunity to go to our stake self-reliance. I don't know if it was a fireside kickoff, but I appreciate our church. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we have the opportunity to learn from the scriptures and from a prophet of God. But what I appreciate also about the church is its willingness to continue to look at the needs of the members around the world and develop programs that will help us. This is a new program that they're kicking off, which has great value. The things that we've seen in the youth Sunday school over the last few years and some of the new programs that are rolling out now. I appreciate being part of a church that continues to try to figure out better ways to help us in our lives, both drawing closer to Jesus Christ and his church and his gospel, but also helping us go through this life. And last Sunday, I thought it was a wonderful program that's being rolled out. There's various modules that are available. There'll be 12-week sessions where groups will be facilitated and work on things as personal finance or education and how to get a better job. These things are also critical for our success and enduring to the end and being able to add value and to be able to participate in our other activities. And so I'm so grateful to be a member of a church that is evolving, yet it's centered on Jesus Christ, which is the beauty of both. And again, we're very thankful for our speakers today. We will be closing with hymn 133, Father in Heaven, and the benediction will be offered by Sister Holly Sweeten.
Our dear Father in heaven, we come before thee at the close of this sacrament meeting to thank thee for the beautiful speakers that we have had this day. We are so grateful to come before thee and renew our covenants by partaking of the sacrament. And we pray that each of us may be strengthened and uplifted this day as we go to our classes and be reminded once again of thy love and all of the teachings that thou would have us apply into our lives. We are so thankful for thy son and all that he has done for us. We pray that we may be those lights that help those who are searching and in distress and need answers in their lives, that we may be thy ambassadors to bring those to thy kingdom here on earth. We are so grateful for upcoming general conference and pray that we may be preparing our hearts and minds for the wonderful words that we will hear, and help us to bring those things into our homes and our families and reflect thy light. We're so grateful to be here this day and grateful for the moisture. Please bless those who are not here with us, that they may be able to be with us the next time we meet. And we love thee, Heavenly Father, and thank thee for all our blessings. In the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, amen.